difficult to understand parts. And after that, we can work on kind of the basis of the now and the now and the now. And by George, before we know what's happening, we're all on fire. We are on fire. Now look, what I've been trying to say to you, you know, baby, what I'm trying to say to you is that, well, it's like I got the itch, you know? It's like I got the itch, don't you understand? Look, I'm getting so tired of these joints with the candles burning all the time. I mean, candles are all right, but all the time with the candles burning and the checkered tablecloths, I mean, you know, after a while, there's got to be more than that. After a while, we've got to look out at that long hill that's going way off there in the distance, with the sun coming down and touching the edges of the trees with a golden light that sears the very shadow of the soul itself. I mean, you dig? You know? I mean, it's like you're looking through the back end of a kaleidoscope, and somebody has made it up in grays and blacks. I mean, you got to be able to see it, baby. So let's try to work it out, huh? Look, why don't you listen to me? This is important. Oh, I suppose that's ridiculous anyway. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like this one time... Look, baby, it's like this one time I saw a cartoon by Steig. And Steig is walking along this guy. Anyway, not Steig, of course. It's really just a kind of a projection of Steig, so you can say it was Steig anyway. I mean, he's walking along in this desolate landscape, and you see a kind of a desolate moon hanging over him, and you could just... Everything is sort of gray and white, and the guy is kind of drooping, and underneath it, the caption says, well, it's all a big joke anyway. I mean, you understand what he's saying, baby? It's all a big joke anyway. So why do you take Ed Sullivan so serious? Because you couldn't get a ticket. I mean, who cares? I mean, I don't. Oh, yes, I suppose I should. Because obviously you do, for crying out loud. Remember, it's all a big joke. I mean, do you understand what it is? It's like my grandfather. You know, I had this grandfather one time. He liked to carve his name on the backs of turtles, this grandfather, because he had a feeling that he wanted to become immortal. And there is a suspicion among a lot of people that turtles live forever. Well, he kind of gave up on the idea, and one day he's sitting out in the backyard in 1887 or sometime like that. He was about 10. And he was pretty teed off. Well, you know how you get teed off? You know, you're sitting out in the backyard, and he caught this turtle. And he carved this thing on the back of this turtle's back, you know, on his shell there. And the turtle went into the woods there and just disappeared. He was found in 1952 with the same thing carved on his back. And the guy who found it called the police. I mean, after all this time, grandfather had been gone for 20 years. Now, do you understand what he did? He said it, baby. For all of us. And you're not even listening. You never listen. Look, now, here's what I'm trying to say. Now, look, now, seriously. Now, just sit still for 1 minute. I am looking at this magazine the other day. I'm looking at this magazine. It's a magazine for kids. You know one of these magazines? And somebody sent this magazine to the office. So I'm sitting here reading this magazine, and I come across this ad. And the ad says, do you want to smell like money? Do you want the real money perfume? Listen to what it says. It says, do you want a perfume that smells like money? Like real money, and remind you of money every time you use it. And this stuff is only $1 a bottle for about 4 or 5 ounces. I mean, and somehow it... Don't you understand what I'm saying? Don't you understand what's happening to the world? No. I suppose you'd like to smell like money. As a matter of fact, you do smell like money, now that I think about it. For a long time, I've been wondering what... You see, look. See, my grandfather... was sitting there by the privet hedge this time, and I mean, even in 1887, it was pretty rotten for a lot of guys. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, you think you just discovered it yourself, though. And so he's sitting there, he's about 10, and this turtle comes along. Oh, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? Just like Steig said, it is all a big J-O-O-K joke. Ha-ha, joke. You know, it is kind of funny at that, now that I think about it. Get off my foot, will you? Just because you're a waiter doesn't mean you can stand on my foot. and bring me another chicken sandwich with chicken this time. Everywhere I go, I get bread sandwiches for 85 cents each with mayonnaise, and I can't even stand mayonnaise. It's for women and kids, people who don't like food. Look, it really isn't so hard to understand, you know? I mean, have you ever seen a swarm of gnats? Gnats, I said, with a G. Gnats. Oh, that was a rotten joke. Don't bother me with your rotten jokes. Every chick I ever knew, the only kind of joke they ever is a crummy pun, and usually obscene. Anyway, there was a bunch of gnats that... Oh, you spoiled the whole mood. I was going to tell you about when you see a swarm of gnats, a whole bunch of gnats all together in a little mob, you know, all buzzing around the lamppost, all buzzing around there in a great big crowd. You know, you've seen them like that. You walk through it, and they hit you all over the face like gnats. I mean, that's what they are, gnats. It kind of makes you think of mankind, you know, humanity, doesn't it? Oh. I am not insulting you at all. I am not talking about you. I am talking about mankind, and this is, when you say mankind, that means womankind too, peoplekind, you know? I mean, if you can include women with mankind, that is, if you can, I can. Forget it, will you? I mean, I'm just feeling rotten tonight, that's all right. Just don't pay any attention to me. I have a headache, and that isn't all that aches. The other one you make come about. Don't bother me, I am singing. Hello, is this? Hello, un, deux, trois. Hello, okay. I got this letter from this woman. It says, Mr. Shepherd, I listened to your program for over 10 minutes last week, and I've come to some conclusions about it. You speak nothing of trivialities and in disjointed sentences and do not make anything clear. Thank you, a disgusted listener. I dig Studio X. Go to bed, you clown. I feel, madam, that's right. Mankind speaks always eternally of trivia, in disjointed sentences and gets nowhere. You are absolutely right, and your critical faculties, obviously, are a cut above the average. And we welcome you, madam, we welcome you. This is Studio X. Stay tuned, friends. I myself am recorded string music. Yes, friendly old melodies played upon 400 friendly old strings eternally throughout all of that spinning long time space curve of it all, baby. Yes, we're going to all go to our doom to the sound of Melacrino playing Cole Porter. And somehow it's only right and fitting, you know. This is what T.S. Eliot said would happen anyway. A long time ago. He of course, this was before hi-fi, so he couldn't have foreseen, really. The world will go out not with a bang, nor with a whimper, but with a pretty fair response in the middle range. Now, on the other... No, what was it? What was it? Do you want to in your spare time? Or do you figure that there is any time that is spare at all? Or is time all of a piece, like a huge calico quilt with cut-out bits? I remember one time, ages ago, eons ago, almost in another world, I was driving along in a car at 4 o'clock in the morning out on the vast, curved, undulating soup bowl of the Midwest. And when it's dark in the Midwest, it is dark. Dante knew about this. He knew about this when he wrote a long time ago, even before Howard Johnson came on the scene. Before anything had developed, anything. Before Jacques Frey did his first radio program on WQXR, long before even gambling came on the scene. Martha Dean wasn't even, she hadn't, no, not yet. The first The first Bull Durham sign had not made its appearance anywhere. Even the non-edited version, incidentally, which was magnificent, just great. Can't go into this. And I'm driving along in this dark, dark bowl of the Midwest, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm driving a little car, one of these two-seaters, see, with a canvas top, and you're kind of clamped in a little world all of your own. And I'm whistling along there, just whistling along in the dark, nothing, no lights, nothing, just whistling through that Stygian blackness. And after a while, as your headlights pierce into that darkness, you truly are in a land of your own and a world of your own that has its own rules, completely its own rules. And I turned on the radio, and the radio is bringing the outside world, or what it isn't really the outside world when you're in a world of your own, you see, actually. It's a kind of an echo of a reverberated memory. It's not quite, it's very difficult, you know, very difficult. And so I'm whistling along there in the dark, and I got the old radio going. And I'm way down there digging out. You see, when you're in the Midwest, the radio stations go off the air at bedtime, which is 5:30. And they come on the air at the time they get up, which is 10:30 in the morning. They don't get up early in the Midwest. They don't do anything early or late in the Midwest. They just sort of exist for a brief moment, like moths going through a brief flame. You know, I don't know what would have happened to me if I'd have stayed in the Midwest. How I would have been. Have you ever thought how you would be if you grew up in Phoenix? I mean, you, the real you, the you that you are now. Or if you grew up in Tijuana, or some real terrible place in North Dakota. Real, I mean, you don't know how, your neck would be red, for one thing. It would be red, and you'd have a funny haircut, and you'd have that peculiar blue look in your eye, and you'd ride these buses up and down 6th Avenue with the green windows over the top. And you'd be entirely different. You would. You really would, you know. And so I'm whistling along through that great depression, that great bowl of the Midwest, sailing along at 4 o'clock in the morning. And this was in the state of Ohio, which is just, well, it's a funny state. It's kind of rolled up at the edges. But I was in the middle where it is flat and nothing, absolutely nothing. And when you think of the term Ohio, you think of clean things, don't you? I mean, Ohio. For years, and when I was a kid, I used to think Toledo, Ohio. Somehow Toledo was a clean, sharp name. I mean, like a blade or something. I always used to see it on scales. It's just a Toledo scale. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Toledo safes, too. You know, there was a guy who used to run a safe crackers school in Toledo. This is a fact, a very funny thing about Toledo. This is a fact, that the old designers of safes from the Toledo Safe Company used to set up business on how to crack Toledo safes. And guys would come from all parts of the country under the GI Bill of Rights and study. And this is a true thing. They finally broke it up, but that's another story. I mean, I don't want to get into the internal politics of the, the way the world really is. And so I'm whistling along in this dark, dark bowl of night, and the old headlights are reaching out there, and I got the radio on, and I, you know, when you tune in between stations, you really hear stuff with guts, really. I mean, you get away from all these guys who sound like they're machines, all these guys that are playing the top 40s, and all this stuff, you know, the friendly station, the deep, rich, vibrant sound. Nobody kids themselves way down in Circle, Texas, or Dogville, Arkansas. You get down there, and these guys are laying it down, really laying it down. And they, you want a sample of it? I can do this beautifully. I worked on a station where I used to do this. Friends, have you ever envied those neighbors of yours that have those beautiful quilts, those beautiful, thick, rich heirloom quilts? The quilt lady will send you 4 pounds of quilt material for just $1.98, satisfaction guaranteed. You will be wild with delight. Or return your quilt pieces within 10 days and receive your money back without question. And if you will send in your name and address within the next 20 minutes, postmark, guaranteed, we will send you also a Bible with a guaranteed bulletproof cover. A 2-in-1 Bible. Handy and useful on Saturday nights. So, friends, send your name and address to Quilt Lady in care of... On and on and on, see? And I'm sitting there, and I hear this coming out of the darkness. And for the first time, I began to see the outlines of the world, you know? It's a funny thing. Most people can walk along, and their mind is on one little point. Whatever it is, making money and having a bigger power lawnmower. Or whatever it is. This is the way happiness, and this is the way the world is. Or you got to get married and have kids and live out in Westport. And this is the way they go, like that. And they never see... Yes, Westport. They never... Yes, even the very name causes me to begin to itch. And they never said, it's a very funny thing. It's a very strange itch. We'll talk about that later on. I use a special salve for it. I also have an even specialer salve for Darien. Whenever I mention it, I break out all kinds of blisters. And so you see this outline. I have nothing against suburban life. I mean, really. I mean, if it's life, you know. Because life is life wherever it is, baby. Whether it's in Westport, Darien, or whether it's here on 6th Avenue, you see. It's just a little harder to do in some places, that's all. I mean, it gets clouded up with all kinds of other things. Occasionally, that is. And I am not the one to push you at all. Now, if you've envied those friends and neighbors of yours who have beautiful heirloom-type quilts in their home, I mean, you've envied them, obviously. You see, these guys down in the dark jungle of radio play upon all the inadequacies of the human heart, the human psyche, constantly. And the quilt lady, believe me, stands behind it 1,000%. We will award a brass figligi with bronze oak leaf palms for the listener who can rise above the sea of listener mediocrity, which is a kind of sea of lethargy bobbing up and down like a cork on a vast ocean of Caro's syrup, with only the sounds of Ed Sullivan and Jack Parr to sustain him in the spiritual level side, bobbing up and down, hoping for eternal salvation, that he will win the contest. Speaking of contests, I heard this guy on the air the other day say, yes, this new contest running in the newspaper. No troublesome, bothersome puzzles to work. No irritating things to work out that you can't work out. Work these fun puzzles. Any idiot can do it. I mean, he didn't say that, but can you imagine a contest that says it's so much fun, it has no puzzles to work out, nothing to work out, you just sit there and it happens to you. And so this is the eternal American dream, you see. No puzzles to work out. No degrees to get. No nothing to do. It just sort of filters into you, seeps in. Just sort of comes in easily. Well, I will award the brass figligi with bronze oak leaf. Tonight's program, if it will be entitled anything, is Stay Tuned for the Cornucopia, which in just a moment is going to pour it out all in your laps, each one of you. Grapes, apples, pears, pineapples, and things we can't mention yet because it's too early. There are women and kids with us at this time. Oh, yes. This is a real cornucopia. AC-DC model will work on any house current, and also battery models available. Just plug them in and it starts to come out. The whole thing, 6-volt, yeah, the whole thing. Everything. Now look, we will award the brass figligi with bronze oak leaf palm to the listener who will arise above that sea of mediocrity and who can tell us what it was that friendly Doc Brinkley used to sell way down in the dark, dark, dark dungeons of radio. Did you ever hear of Doc Brinkley who had a gold Rolls Royce? He did, you know. He had a Rolls Royce with all the outside metal parts plated with gold. Because, you see, he was playing upon the deepest and the darkest fear of all. Old Doc Brinkley. And so the quilt lady stands behind it, friends. We all stand behind it, friends. Satisfaction guaranteed. And remember this. If there's anything, I have an idea this should be carved over some giant entranceway, say, like to Grand Central Station. Money back, if not delighted. Money back, if not delighted. Isn't silence frightening? Of course it is. Because as soon as you begin to be silent, something begins to hiss and bubble down inside. You're going to grab for the knob and turn it up. Fast. Fast, by George, fast. Fast. I have a feeling that one time, there must have been a time. It's interesting to note, when I was in Africa, standing there athwart a beam, the Great Pyramid. I mean, this is a big pyramid. And I get inside, and you're walking along, and I've had this funny feeling that there was something very, very very familiar about it. Something that was familiar, really familiar. I couldn't put my finger on it for about 20 minutes, because it was the kind of familiarity, you see, which is so subtle that you don't even see it. And then it dawned on me. The Great Pyramid is wired with Muzak. And Mantovani was pursuing me even into the Great Tomb of the Kings. The Great Tomb of the Kings. So don't worry. Satisfaction is guaranteed in this life. It is guaranteed. You can't miss. And if you miss, it's only because you've lost your guarantee certificate. And so on. Of course, you have to mail it in within 10 days. Actually. So don't lose sight.
Here's a song for you. Souvenir.
No, don't talk this way. Why must you always, always go away? Why must... Look at them. Look at them out there. It's like old Captain Nemo. Looking through the huge glass porthole out at the underwater world.
Just wandering.
Yes, I know.
Back for some more of home.
I know.
And then?
We know.
Well?
Hello?
I go roaming again.
Don't. That won't do it. I mean, it's
With
not...
With my wealth, I wish I had lived...
Oh, please.
...when great genius lived.
Please, madam.
What I would not have done.
You're missing the point, baby.
The writings of yon dying beggar reveal...
But you too.
...that he is by far the greatest one.
So look, you've fallen into the trap. The same idiotic trap.
Though I tried to live the life of Riley...
No.
Riley said to me...
This is
I dare you to try to live mine.
Riley he's said a funny one. Me. See, he's...
Try to live your own
look,
life.
Look, fella, you're just trying to hide.
I must never follow you.
That's what I've been saying.
And it must follow.
You
must never follow me.
Look, don't. I mean, you can't go.
Page cried, all is vanity.
Oh, come on
but
now.
Would not hear the
reducing this to hokum.
As youth replied, vanity is all.
Oh, come on now. This is... of all...
You remind me of someone that I knew.
Yes, so do you.
How could you? Just look a little closer and you will see that I am the one I remind you of.
Hey, fellas, come on. I'm the one that you reminded me of. No, he's wrong. It is not monkey glands. Tell him the time has played an unkind trick on him. He's got half of it right. Half of it right. Da-dee-da-da-da-dee-da. Yes, madam, you are correct. We speak in disjointed sentences. Incompleted thoughts. But not quite. Not quite. Because everywhere else in life, one has to fill in the blanks. Even you, madam. That's it. That's it. Once more. That's much better. Much better now that old machine is gone. That's it. And there they go. Off. What a day. Wasn't this a magnificent day? I mean, it... I'm just going to have to warn you for tonight. Just for tonight. Don't stay tuned. No, really, I'm serious about this. Don't stay tuned. Because I'm afraid of what might happen. I truly am. You know, it's a funny thing about this. That this was one of those exceedingly rare days where everything stood out in a kind of etching clarity, a steel engraving. It stood out. And the sun was golden and the sky was azure. And people were moving up and down and back and forth. And I detected an odd thing today. For some reason or other, there was a slight edge of violence in many of the things that I saw this afternoon. It was one of the wild days. There are 300 and some odd days that go along, and nothing happens. They're nothing days They just go. And then, without warning, suddenly a day will pop up that is a different day for some reason. It stands alone, usually because of the weather. And we are creatures, incidentally, of nature, very deeply embedded in nature. We cannot escape. We are just like the rabbits and like the chipmunks and the turtles. Whether or not we wish to admit it, we are, you see. We, too, sway in that wind. We, too, feel those magnetic ebbs and flows. We do, you know. And this day, there was that edge of violence in it all. It was a brilliant, clear, sharp, clean-cut day. It was the kind of day that a boss could get hit in the mouth. I mean, if he showed up the wrong way. Yes, it was a strange day. It was the kind of day that you feel like if you stood on the edge of the windowsill and started to flap your arms, you would be over Pittsburgh at 8,000 feet within 20 minutes. Oddly enough. But yet, of course, there's always that nagging fear that you won't be over Pittsburgh. And so we always have with us that framework of reality, but it was a magnificent day. So I would suggest you get out of here quick. Get out of here quickly. Because there is a wild thing tonight that is stalking the land. And I too, you see, kind of like a dowsing rod, a magnetic needle. I too, you see, wave back and forth and point with this thing. Are you listening to me, baby? I mean, are you really listening to me? Really? Did I ever tell you about the time? You know, it's a funny thing. It had to do with a doorbell. I mean, this is an innocuous thing in our time, but not really. Speaking of the innocuous.
This is WOR, AM and FM New York, an RKO General Station.
Good evening, fans. This is Frankie Face, the old...
old man who lived in the shoe, who had so many children that he didn't know what to do. I mean, you know this. This is so familiar that you don't even have to be reminded of it. What was? How did it go? The old man who lived in the shoe, had so many children he didn't know what to do, and so on and so on. I mean, it's an old story. And these things run through you they're definitely part of your whole makeup, your complete. Thoroughly, all of you, you know, the total you. And one of the things that has been part of the total me, and probably part of the total I of almost everybody that I've known, the American-type people, is Swan Lake. Do you know that I have not been able to remember Swan Lake since last week's program, and I've been going idiotic? I was riding in a car with a friend of mine for 2 hours. And this friend of mine said, do you remember Swan Lake? Now, can you sing Swan Lake? And I said, yes, of course, I remember Swan Lake. And so I started a hymn. Here's what I started on. No, that's not it. That's, no, that's not it. Well, of course, the upshot of it was that this friend of mine started to laugh. And then about 4,000 miles later, I said, all right, how about it then, you wise guy? And so what did I get but Massenet's Elegy? Nobody can remember Swan Lake. I'm beginning to formulate a theory about this. It's the disappearing, reappearing memory that bobs up and down like a cork on the surface of the sea of the mind. And I'm sitting here, I'm not even, I feel insecure. Terribly, and I'm not being funny or trying to work a gimmick on this, but I cannot remember for the life of me. If I were to be put on the spot right now, the big X that they used to have in the Hearst newspapers, where it always would say underneath that this is where Magnano was shot to death by unknown assailants, the X marks the place where his body fell. Well, I couldn't, if they said, Shepard, you're going to be on that X, unknown assailants will shoot you down next to the privet hedge with sawed-off shotguns. I could not give you the Swan Lake. Do you know it? Swan Lake. What's the, seems to be a crisis in there. What is it, people? No crisis? Okay. Fine. But I can't, And everywhere there are signs of people who are living in the real world who can really grasp these things. And who can hold on to them hard and tight and fast. These are the people who get on quiz shows. I mean the honest ones. Who get on quiz shows and who can obviously answer questions. I have this friend who can work all the crossword puzzles. Like mad. Works the New York Times crossword puzzle on the Sunday crossword puzzle in probably a half an hour. Without even getting the pencil hot. And has no vocabulary at all. None. Vocabulary that consists entirely of yes, no, or I'm not feeling well. I mean, this is the total vocabulary, but can work the crossword puzzle in 20 minutes or less. This is kind of a reflex action. I mean, you know what I mean? Like that. And I'm sure that there's somebody out there who can hum Swan Lake. Would you please get in touch with us so that the whole rest of the population, all 38 of us, can relax here? Who cannot remember Swan Lake? Is my Swan Lake man out there again? Is he out there? Is it the same clown? Hello? No. You've got it, but you don't have the ending. That doesn't count. Well, all right, let's hear your distorted ending. This shows how man's mind filters reality and comes up with this pink cloud. Belt it out, baby. You don't even have the beginning, baby. You better sit back there and rest a minute and think it over, okay? All right, you call back. Da-da-da-da-dee. She's almost right, but not quite. This is the way of all mankind, almost right. I have a feeling that we're going to have a peace conference that's going to last for 4,000 years. I really do. And you know, I think a new era of history has begun. Actually, this is going to be known as the Age of the Conference. Just like we went through the Bronze Age and the Brass Age, the Tinfoil Age and all the other ages, this is going to be known as the Conference Age. And it will last for 20,000 years, like the glaciers. And nobody will remember when it began, you see, 10,000 years from now. It's just a way of life. Like the Indians were all sitting around and making things out of flint. They never thought about where it began. Who started all this flint jazz? I mean, some guy's cutting away at the flint and it's cutting him and breaking his fingernails. He never says, who started this flint jazz? Why don't we do something else here? This is ridiculous. Well, that's the way we are going to get. I figure in about 10,000 years, man will have a continual compulsive conference. Really, it's beginning. Have you noticed this? Now, quick, give me Swan Lake before I fall apart entirely. I got it! Ba-ba-ba-bee. Go to bed, listeners. Go back where you belong. I got it myself. I can do it myself. Incidentally, madam, this is trivia. Actually, it's trivia because it's man's mind. That is what makes it trivial. Somehow, she has a feeling that if I played the top 40, it wouldn't be trivial. Or if I became concerned over the condition of Messarabia. Or is it Bessarabia? But you see, it's all triviality in the end, baby. Just like Steig said, it's all a joke. So get out of here, baby. You're a joke like the rest of it. Da 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 dee da da do dee da 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 do do do. La da da dee da 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 dee da da do da. Too late, I got it. Huh? I don't believe you. You can really bet. Oh, she's great, listen. You mean you are us? You swing? Hey, look, baby, are you indispensable to me? Are you really? All right, belt it out, baby. It's a moiling mess out there tonight.
Isn't it crazy, Shepard?
What's that, baby?
You know where I am?
Where?
In Forest Hills,
Shepard. Forest Hills? All right, go back to bed, baby, and give me a call after the show. All right. She is indispensable. There you are. See, I had on the other end of the line, obviously, someone who was elfin, who had laughing, dark eyes, and who could belt out Swan Lake. Just press the button and she belts it out. This is what I would need next to me throughout all of life. Give me Swan Lake, baby. Where is she? Hey, I'll tell you, I want to try her out on that. Get in touch with us again. Quick, call us again, baby. Here, I want to try you out on a thing here. I want to see how you'd work as a helpmeet. Got to make this trial out here. And while we're waiting for this interesting sociological experiment to begin, friends, do you want the real money perfume? Do you want a perfume that smells like money, looks like money, and reminds you of money every time you use it? This is from an actual ad. This is our time. I'm not kidding you. Then you want Lucy Money perfume that is made with rich green oils to give you a very powerful and rich scent. A friend told me, and we quote, "When I want perfume that is plenty sure to please, I use Lucy Money perfume because it gives me the attractive scent that men like best." Yes, if you would like a 10-day trial of Lucy Money perfume. This is an ad, an actual. I didn't invent it. I wonder if she smells like new bills or old ones. Hey, where is that girl again? Get in touch, quick. She's chickened out because she realized that she was going to be put on the spot for being a phony here. Very difficult. I'm sitting here. I'm sorry, my foot is caught again. You notice that the wildness is here tonight. Have you noticed it? I'll tell you, it's a funny thing how it first began. When I first began to feel this wildness, when I was a child. Do you want to know about this? This is not a program to devote any time, really, to nostalgia. These things, the only reason I ever mention my childhood is because, you see, it gives you a focal point that leads you to this point. That's all. That's all. That the child is father of the man. You know? This is a factoruni. I mean, it really is. And so, one time, I'm lying in bed there. I slept on a day bed. You know what a day bed is? This is a strange Midwestern manifestation. It was a day bed. It wasn't really a bed, and it didn't do anything in the day, really. It was just a thing, kind of a lumpy bed, and kids slept on it. Kids were always assigned day beds. And I had this day bed that had a cretonne. Yes, is there such a thing as cretonne? Here's a word that has popped out of my ancient past. Cretonne. Had a cretonne cover on it, and it had a funny smell, like very thin plaster or something, with dust in it. You know how dust smells? And that's the way this cretonne cover was. And it was kind of crinkly and had big poppies printed all over it. My mother went for poppies, printed stuff hanging all over the place. You know, this was a Midwestern type of art form there. And I used to sleep on this day bed. And one night I'm in this day bed there, and the cretonne cover is rolled back, and I'm underneath this quilt, and it's warm there under the quilt, and it's cold in the room. And I began to hear the trains in the roundhouse. I had never really listened to them this way. You know, you live with things all of your life and you never really hear them or really see them. Like a guy called in about 10 minutes ago and said he was on Fifth Avenue up around Saks today. And there on Fifth Avenue up around Saks was a real grasshopper climbing up the side of Saks. Actually, I will have to disillusion him. That was one of their Vogue models who was out there just for a brisk workout. You have seen those Vogue models, haven't you? Well, then, for crying out loud, I mean, so anyway, that's just beside the point. You see, I said, you got to really look at things the way they really are once in a while. So I'm lying there flat out. I'm about 7 or something like this. This is when the wildness began. I'm about 7 years old. And in those days, they had trains that had whistles, real whistles. And I'm lying there, and you could hear the roundhouse. This was about 1 o'clock in the morning, it must have been. It was dark. And you could hear the rustle of the leaves outside once in a while. We had leaves outside. The special leaves, had a little, you know, they rustled like, had a little thing that would shake the tree occasionally. And actually, it wasn't a tree. It was a long story. And the leaves would rattle up against the screen. And I'm lying there, and the breeze is blowing through, and it's cool, and I'm under this quilt. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I'm a kid. Well, all these, you put all these things together, and you have a very explosive mixture, terribly explosive, actually. And I'm lying there, and I began to hear the trains in the roundhouse. And the roundhouse was about a mile away, and this was a dark, still Midwestern night when even the crickets were muted, when even the frogs were afraid to goop, or else they would disturb the neighborhood. And everything is just hanging like a dark velvet blanket. And I'm lying there, and I begin to hear these trains. And trains in the roundhouse are different from trains going past. I don't know whether you've ever lived near a roundhouse somewhere, but they're very different. because you hear all kinds of little switchings going, ding, 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 back and forth. And then about every 10, maybe 20, or maybe every 30 minutes, you would hear a train that has been put together out there in the yards by the roundhouse, near the hump. They always had a thing called the hump. And this train is taking off for the west. This long freight, and you would hear, it'd go like that, you know. It'd be silence like that, and then, and I'm laying there, you see, I'm just lying there, flat out. I'm a kid. And the old cretonne thing is folded up in the corner. And my boxing gloves my Uncle Tom gave me are hanging there on the wall. And I'm hearing this, and I never forgot it. Kept my train record fast. I gotta have my train record. I'm lying there, and I can hear, and then he would start to pick up steam. Pretty soon, you could hear those old drivers going, and he's going off into the distance, and he would let about 5 big blasts of that big whistle go. And boy, you just couldn't stand it. You really couldn't. And you don't know where you're going to go or anything, or why you're going to go. All you know is that you gotta go. Somewhere, sometime. And that feeling of excitement, that thing, that there's something just on the other edge of it all, something that's just on the other edge of it all, is a thing that is constantly luring and constantly cursing everyone and providing a kind of an unquenchable flame. And I think most of us have it. Not all of us, I'm afraid, have it. But most of us, actually, I suppose, if the truth were out, everybody has had it at one time or another. And some retain it and some lose it. And on the way, you see all kinds of little mutations occur back and forth. But on nights like this, August nights, when the sun has been out and it's dark, you have this feeling, at least I do, once in a while. I can, you know, this... Oh, boy. Oh, my George. By George Rooney. Do you want the real money perfume or not? I mean, surely you do. There are millions and millions and millions of signs in the sky. And somewhere, you know, you realize that people are doing it, really doing it. Did you read this little note out of New York Times? Listen to this. This should be orchestrated. I mean, we should have music to play behind this one. It comes from Tokyo. Listen to this great note. Beiping Radio said yesterday that a peasant in Fujian province tackled a tiger barehanded to save the lives of his neighbor's 8 children. What a magnificent moment. Listen to what this guy did. The story the broadcast told was that Yu Lian Shu of Qinghao Village charged the tiger, which gashed his forehead, and then he jumped on the tiger's back, rode him around the village yelling for help. His wife rushed in and seized the tiger by the hind leg while his 75-year-old mother fetched an axe with which Yu beat in the animal's head until he was dead. What a moment. What a moment. What a magnificent instant. Speaking of magnificent instants, Grace, listen to this one. Listen to this one. Hold it, not yet. Listen to this one. Here is one of man's most magnificent moments. Grace, listen to this one. This is great. It comes from Atlantic City. It was published in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Give me a bit of cheap string music, quick. Tell her, hey, get her off the stick there. We need the cheap string music quickly here. This has to be orchestrated. That's all right. Just cheap string music, that's all. Because you see, man's most noble efforts are always surrounded by a certain shoddiness, which he is almost invariably able to concoct, even in his grandiose instance. All right, any time now, bring it up there. Cheap string music. Listen to this great moment. Any cut, doesn't matter. It comes from Atlantic City, of all places. where one would hardly expect man to rise to heights above and beyond the call of humanity duty, which is merely usually to spend a good deal of one's time on one's knees, crawling after an ephemeral dream. A dream that's thousands of feet tall, thousands of feet across, which none of us can quite understand. Atlantic City, July 25th. A man at the La Concha Hotel plunged six stories, fully clothed, into a swimming pool on the premises of the hotel Saturday night. When asked about it, he said he was tired of waiting for the elevator. After being pulled out, Gary Gaines, 35, of Trenton, walked immediately, dripping wet, to a nearby taxicab and rode away into the night. Gary Gaines, we salute you. Isn't that magnificent? The machine, oh, what, you see, this, it's such things as this that give you hope, that make you realize that in spite of it all, the giant tape, the giant 707 IBM machine is bound to lose in the end. Bound to lose. I can't imagine a national cash register digital computer plunging out of the sixth story because it's, I got tired of waiting for the next tape. Oh, no. Oh, no. Only man could conceive of such a majestic instant. And then to climb up, fully clothed, and get into a taxi cab and ride off into the night. This is an unforgettable gesture. I do have hope now. Once again, hope has sprung eternal. Once again, hope has sprung. Once again, hope has reared. It's beautiful. Oh. Oh. Been there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself has said, hot diggity dog. Hot diggity dog, they're switching old number 9 out there at the yard tonight. Listen to that. Oh, boy. Oh. This is the sound of a roundhouse at midnight. It really is. This is where they're doing it. Be there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself has said, when's it going to happen? Oh, just that. There he goes. That beautiful guy? Oh, boy. He's going up a grade there. There he goes. Oh, he didn't lose traction once. This guy knows his business. Yeah, he's putting the sand down there on the old tracks. Listen to that. Here's a passing train. This is a sound that I heard all through my childhood. Nothing but trains. Our town was crossed by 8 million trains, and our car spent over 45 years waiting at crossings. And all I heard was this when I was asleep in the back seat. That's right. Don pointed out something very interesting. He says most of the people in this area living here in New York never heard this. That is true. This is a Midwestern sound and a far Western sound. So truly, it's not a New York sound. This is the sound of a train passing a grade crossing. You just stand there in the night and the little gate is down and it's raining. It's always raining. and you see this train, 120 cars going past, all loaded, reefers. Listen to that. There go the reefers past.
Yeah.
And that ain't a diesel either. There's the flat cars, you know? Yeah, give us a blast on the whistle here. Speaking of whistles, this is WOR New York. Oh, boy. Listen to this one. Boy, he's loaded. He's coming into a station. And there's one going by on the track on the outside. Listen. That's a piston. Here he comes fast. He's coming right up. Oh, boy. Hey, listen. He let it go there. As he was receding in the distance there, we just cut out the whistle there. He just started to whistle. Beautiful sound. I think the other side are diesels. Aren't they? Yeah, the other side are diesels, I think. Doesn't have the same swing. Let's see. Da dee 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 da doo da doo da doo da ba bo bum 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 ba ba da da dee 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 la da doo dee da 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 ba 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 bi ba bo ba ba bi ba bo ba ba bi ba bo 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 ba. Did you read that? There are moments really that make it worth it all. There are moments. Did you hear about this woman? See, the only reason we ever mention any of these things is because we have to pull in all kinds of little isolated, what appear to be isolated threads, little pieces of lint on the serge suit of eternity. Try that one again. Little pieces of lint on the serge suit of eternity. Okay? I mean black, formless, shapeless. I mean, you know, a very neat illusion there. I'll have to work that one out there just a little bit there. There, we'll smooth it down. Tiny bits of lint. And they hold on. There was this woman. Did you read about this woman? Please give me cheap guitar music again, Don. Always keep cheap guitar music handy because being part of the mosaic of mankind, we must have that slight shoddiness with us under all conditions and situations. Maintaining it was the principle of the thing. An elderly woman defied the authority of traffic court in 1956 by leaving the country, fleeing the country, rather than to pay a $20 speeding fine. Yesterday, Miss Zora Squire, who is now 72, an ex-school teacher, returned to municipal court to take her medicine in Chicago.
I'm positive I was not speeding,
she told the judge, Judge Norman Iger, in an appeal of the referee's decision, which resulted in the $20 fine. And the reason she had no city vehicle sticker at the time, she added, was that the city of Chicago had not paid her for teaching during the Depression. She decided to take out her credit by refusing to buy safety stickers. In the early years of the Depression in the 1930s, the city was short of property tax revenue and paid employees with scrip instead of cash. The school board later obtained a government loan and paid the teachers for their payless paydays. But somehow, Miss Squire was overlooked and did not receive her cash for the work that she performed in the schools in Chicago at the time. Judge Iger upheld the referee and pleaded with Miss Iger, please pay the fine. You're guilty of speeding. Please pay the fine.
I am a woman of principle. I am a woman of principle. My conscience will not let me do it. I am sorry, Judge.
And where have you been since your last appearance in court? The judge asked.
Well, I've covered Scandinavia, France, Austria, and Russia twice.
The judge had no other alternative. He sentenced Miss Squire to 8.5 days in county jail.
Thank you, Judge. I am sorry I cannot agree.
So am I, said Iger. Defiantly, Miss Squire delivered herself to the husky woman matron who was to lead her to jail. And on her way out, she warned the matron,
Don't push me! Nothing irritates me more than being pushed around! Stop pushing!
Miss Squire, we salute thee. It is a lost battle, Miss Squire. You have been caught in the wheels of civilization. Not really. The wheels of civilization know that they are dealing with that hard, steely, sinewy core of mankind when they attempt to deal with you. And for 8.5 days, every day the jailer walks past your cell. He's going to have this funny feeling inside of him. And, Miss Squire, all you got to do is just keep looking out. Don't say a word. And, by the way, keep your lace collar clean, which I'm sure that you always will anyway. And may your hatpin be allowed to stay with you, unless they've disarmed you on the way into county jail. Miss Squire, we salute thee. O mankind, taking thy leaps from the 6th-story window because you were tired of waiting for the elevator. Moment of beauty. Moment of ineffable, inescapable beauty. Time tied in the affairs of men. Always contrived to do us in. Inevitably. Kill it, Don. I'm looking for something here. It's all part of the times. And while we're on the subject of part of the times, we have a note that summer is something special at your general tire dealer, being, of course, that he's vaguely poetic about the world. And you'll find a sensational sale going on right now. Fabulous summer values on famous make quality tires. All sizes and low prices available at your general tire dealer. The man who is famous for his low prices. So get in touch with him. He's having a summer fiesta. Has it ever occurred to you that New York really does swing in the summertime? I'm telling you, it's great. We've gotten rid of about 7 million of the 8.5 million people in this town, and it really swings because there's nothing left in town but the soreheads. But the soreheads and the guys who couldn't make it out of town and a few other types who just sort of wander around. And that makes for a very gutty town. Wish I could find the thing I'm looking for. Of course, this is the story of all mankind anyway. We've all been wishing that we could find the thing that we've always been looking for. And it goes a little bit deeper than that. You know, this is true, you know. Has it occurred to you that we do, in our lives, we are always searching for this thing. And it's a kind of a chase. It's probably, well, of course, we will never find it because the thing is purely of our own creation. We will never find it. And if you want to gallop out there, if you want to carry that shield, be well buckled into your armor, and your lance will be properly sharpened and held in the position of best effectiveness. You must be aware, always, that this thing you are pursuing is constantly retreating. Eternally it's retreating, you know? And it makes it, in a way, it's like this guy. Today, I'm standing on the curb there, and along comes a car. And this guy's real tired. It's a black car. It's very shiny. And he's real tired. You can see these old bags hanging down from his... Just hanging down to his cheekbones. And he was kind of stubbly and looked hot and miserable. He came driving up to the corner there where I was waiting to cross. And there was a tired, frowsy-looking middle-aged woman sitting there with her. She was the kind who, even when she's undressed, is wearing a pink paisley print. I mean, you know the type? And she's sitting there, and she is the kind who sweats summer and winter, just constantly exudes something, you know. And they're both sitting there as far apart as they can get on the front seat of this car, which was about 18 feet wide. You know, the type who say, we've got to have room in the car. And the reason they got to have room in the car is they can't stand sitting next to each other. They got to get as far away apart as possible, these two people. And so they're sitting in the car there, and it's just there, you know, and there's a slight ping in the motor. And on the side of the hood, printed there for all to see, it said, Dynamic 2, in chrome letters. Dynamic 2, in chrome letters, on the side of the hood of this car. And these two people just sat there, sagging all over the place, and this was the most beautiful exemplification of reality versus the dream I've seen in a long time. That man isn't up to his dream, and his dream is constantly the thing which he creates in the mechanical objects that he builds, you see, because you can do it that way. You can make this mechanical thing, and you write across it, dynamic, live forever, great, you know, and there it is. You print it all over there like that, and the guy feels for a minute, you see, you identify with these things. And you read the ad, it says, the dynamic tool gives you the feeling of being a cat on the road, reaching forward, always devouring distance, and further, and upward, until finally you reach into the golden sunshine of true ecstatic happiness. See your dealer.